Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Yeshua HaMashiach, to all the saints in HaMashiach Yahushua, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from Yah our Father and from our Master Yeshua HaMashiach. I thank my El upon every remembrance of you, always and in every prayer. That's a lot. Always and in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Yahushua HaMashiach. I'm going to read that again. Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. I want to preach from the subject, God is not through with you. Amen. 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 God is not through with you. Look at somebody and tell them, say, neighbor, God is not through with you. Amen. We learned his name is Yah. So let's turn to our neighbor. Find somebody and say, neighbor. Look at him again. Say, neighbor. Yah is not through with you. I know it's sometimes mind-boggling to think that the creator of the universe is using us to do something for him. But it is nevertheless, it's the truth. That he started something in us that he is still working through us. When you look at the text, in verse 5, we discovered, or in verse 4, that the Apostle Paul, whose real name is Shaul, we discovered that he wrote this letter to the Philippian church because they were a special church to him. They came to his aid in the time of need, and they continually supported his ministry as he carried the gospel into and through the Roman Empire. You notice that he says that he was grateful for their fellowship in the gospel. In the gospel. That word in is, and this is not necessarily for you to remember this term, but just know. This word in is a preposition of motion. And the preposition of motion means it's not stagnant. But their fellowship in the gospel meant that their common interest and activity was involved with the progression of the gospel. In other words, it wasn't the fact that they were just supporting the preacher to stand up and preach. They were supporting the gospel message as it came through the preacher and as it did work in the people he was preaching to. Whether that crowd was the church local or whether it was the people on the outside that he was sharing the good news with in evangelism, he had a church that realized that as I invest in him that my investment in him is doing something. It's moving. It's working. It is participating. It has a common interest with him. I tell people this all the time that nobody, oh, I'm not saying like that, but there is no one church where everybody in the church is the preacher. Amen. Amen. Everybody in the church cannot be pastor.
Right.
Somebody else say amen. Amen. But all of us have been given something to do. And it is our responsibility to join in with what our Father is doing through our leader to reach the world for Christ. Now, the word Christ is a Greek word. It is taken from, in the Greek word, it is Christos. But the word Christos is taken from the Hebrew. As I mentioned before, the whole Bible was written in Hebrew. They used to teach us back when I was in school that the Bible was written in Hebrew in the Old Testament, Greek in the New Testament. But linguistics have discovered that the whole Bible was written in Hebrew and then translated in the New Testament into Greek. As a result, we are now able to read the Greek text but go into the Hebrew in order to find out what the true meaning of the word is. It's like the support of the Greek manuscript. So I said that to say this. The word Christ in Greek is Christos, and it means the anointed one. But it could also mean any anointed one. But the word Messiah in Hebrew is HaMashiach. That's why when you hear me say Yehoshua, HaMashiach, Ha means the. Mashiach is Messiah. We don't follow a, well, I'm preaching, y'all just ain't caught it. We don't follow a Messiah. We follow the Messiah. We follow the Messiah. He's Ha Messiah. He's the anointed Messiah sent to us by his Father, Yah. His Father's name, Yahuwah, means I am that I am. His name is Yah is salvation. I am salvation. We participate in, hallelujah, the salvation of our Heavenly Father to mankind through his only begotten Son, Yahushua HaMashiach. This joint participation in the work of propagating the gospel had gone on from the first day that Rabbi Shaul met Lydia and she opened her home to the preaching of the word. And this is what he said. From the first time I got here until now, this fellowship has never stopped doing what they started doing on the first day they came together. The first time we got together, you all were supporting the gospel. Now, years later, I'm an old man, and then when I come back through Philippi, I've noticed that this church is still promoting and supporting the gospel. He said, as a result of that, I'm grateful to our Heavenly Father for you. I'm grateful because not every church stays around long enough, amen, to continue to support. Some churches start up and die. Other churches start up supporting the gospel. But over time, they end up supporting social causes and social interests. Some churches start off right and don't take long until the whole church is wrong. But hallelujah, there is a church here in Philippi that never strayed from the mission. They started supporting the mission. They started supporting evangelism. They started supporting the Apostle Paul, believing in his mission and message to get the gospel. And years later, when he writes back to this church, he says, one thing about you all, you stayed the course. And as a result, I pray for you every day. So I'm praying for you. Now, let me share this. He said, and this is what I'm praying. I'm confident, being confident of this very thing, That he, now that's Yah, that's your heavenly father, Yahushua, this is Yahushua's father, who is Yahweh or Yahuwah. That's the he, that's God, which begun a good work in you, will perform it. In other words, if he started it, he's going to finish it. Well, how long is he going to perform it? Until the day of Yahushua HaMashiach. Now, what does that mean? The day of Yahushua is the day called Judgment Day. It's the day when this is all over and we have to stand before him and give an account of the deeds done in the body. That is called the day of the Lord. For those of us who are saved, that is a great day. We look forward to it with great anticipation. I don't know about you, but I'm waiting for the day to stand before him and to hear him say, good and faithful servant, well done. Right. You've been faithful over a few things. Now come on up a little higher, and I'm going to make you rule over many. I'm looking forward to the time when I see him face to face. But to those who are not believers, it's a great day of fear and trembling. You know, the one they laughed at and poked fun at and said they wouldn't have nothing to do with, they're going to have to kneel and bow, but it'll be too late. But that day is coming. So the Father who started a work in you, hallelujah, he says, I'm confident. It's written in what's called the second perfect active, which means I have been persuaded. In other words, I've been watching you, and I've been watching what our Father is doing in you, and I'm confident more than ever that he's going to keep doing what he started doing until that day comes. Now, I want you to notice this. He said, I'm confident of this very thing. What very thing? What's the one thing that Paul really knows here? He which has begun a good work. Now, when we talk about the work Yah started in us, we have to know he didn't start a bad work with us. He started a good work with us. When you placed your faith in him, he began something in your life. He started something. Now, I know many of us said, I came to church when I got, no. He started it. You see, and if he starts something, he'll finish it. You do know that nobody really starts, well, I shouldn't say nobody, but you shouldn't start a work if you're not planning on seeing it to completion. And when it comes to our Heavenly Father, his beginning the work is a pledge of his completing the work. In other words, he wouldn't have started the work if he hadn't already decided to finish the work. And when it comes to the perfecting of the saints and the fellowship of the gospel, if he started a work in you, he's going to keep doing that work until the day of his son, Yeshua. Now, sometimes it looks as though Yah might be through with us. I mean, look around at the condition of our people. Look around at the cults that are rising on every church corner, on every corner. Look at the rise of false prophets. Look at the one world order. Look at how we are always in a state of confusion. A few months ago, we were fighting Iran and backing Iraq. I woke up this morning, the news said, now we partner with Iran to go against Iraq. Somebody need to help us in here. It's confusing. All right. The world is turning what seems to be upside down. And you start thinking about, is the church of Yeshua still relevant in today's world? Is the work still relevant? I mean, why are we still gathering? It seems like the true churches that stand on the Bible are shrinking, while the false preachers and teachers are expanding. We start looking around and we see people who want to walk holy being ridiculed, while those that want to be unholy are being praised. We live in a time where we've had church here for 2,000 years. Crime is still on the increase and holiness is on decline. We got churches closing their doors. Somebody might say, well, maybe Yah's through with the church. Maybe Yah has rejected his church. But let me stand here and share with you that's absolutely not true. No, never will Yah reject his church.
Right.
He will not reject his church because he will not reject his people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now let me share something with you. We'll be learning this here because I'm going to teach it to you. You're going to learn something that you might not have made a connection before. Many people say that the church started after Jesus died on the cross for your sins, because he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. The word church, though, is very interesting. The word church, if we go back to the Greek, and let's not deal with the English because that's a whole other story. But the word in the Greek is ekklesia, and it means called out ones. It had nothing to do with a building. It had nothing to do with walls and lights and windows. It has to do with called out people. But watch this. The word church being the called out, the ekklesia, in Hebrew, it is the congregation. So the word congregation in Hebrew represents the people who were chosen by the Most High out of the rest of the world, namely Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his descendants. They were called out. Abraham was called out of Ur, then the nation was called out of Egypt, and then as a nation they were called out of the rest of the world to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Now, why'd you put that in, Pastor? Why? Because what we consider to be the church, now I want you to listen to me, the church is not made up of Gentiles and no Hebrews. But the church is made up of the Hebrew believers and those Gentiles that have been grafted in. When we got saved, I'm not talking about us, I'm talking about Gentiles, they are grafted into his family that's already been established. That's why Paul said in Romans, is God through with the Jews? You want to talk about those fellows in the Holy Land that run around them big old hats and locks and stuff. Those are Ashkenazis, that's a whole different group. They're converts to Judaism. They converted in 740 AD. You can look it up for yourself. They're not the original bloodline people of the Bible. We are, but that's a whole other story. That's not my sermon. Now watch this. But here's the truth. He cannot reject his church because we are his children.
Yeah.
Just like he cannot reject his children. So even though it looks like the world is winning, the truth is the world will lose and God will win. He's going to win because the work he started in you, he's going to finish. If he stops it now and we lose, then we might as well take the Bible and throw it away. We might as well close the church doors. We might as well shut down the hymn books, get rid of all these instruments. Amen. We might as well go on and get a fifth, sit out on the dock of the bay and drink ourselves crazy, fall in the water, drown. Why? Because it's all over. If he's through with us, it's over. But hallelujah, he's not through with his church. He started something and he's going to finish what he started.
All right.
He's going to complete it. And guess how he's going to complete it? Interesting. He's going to complete it through you. Yeah, you. I know he said, no. I'm just a little member here. I'll come to church for about an hour. Then I go about the rest of my day and handle my own business. There's no way he could be really trying to complete something through me. I got some news for you. News flash. You. Look at your name and say you.
Yeah,
you. Think about this. Our Heavenly Father wants to change the world through the people sitting in this room. He wants to turn Daly City and San Francisco, wants to turn them around when it comes to the message of the gospel through the people sitting in this room. That he wants this nation to be different because you sitting in this room dedicated to his work. And when the nation is different, he wants the world to be affected by this little group sitting in this room listening to me right now. It's mind-boggling. I'm telling you it is. When Yahshua walked the planet, he chose 12 fellas. And one of them was the devil from the beginning, Judas. And you know where these fellas were from? Four of them we know were just simple fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector. And then we find that there were others from different, but they were just normal folk like you and me. Matter of fact, they were in their 20s. And Yeshua looked at them and said, okay, now I want you to go. I'm sorry, y'all. I get these visions and I can just see the look on their face. Yeshua said unto them, all right, you're going to go change the whole world. Peter was like, man, I'm going fishing. I don't know what you're talking about. Change the world. No, you're going to change the world. And you're going to start in Jerusalem. And then you're going to go to Judea and Samaria and then the othermost parts of the earth. What do you mean? We ain't got no money. We ain't got no power. We ain't got no We don't know nobody. I mean, what are you talking about? It's impossible. Economically impossible. We didn't even have enough money to buy bread when the multitude was hungry. Economically impossible. We didn't have any money to pay taxes. Remember, Yeshua, you made us go fish, and we had to find a coin in a fish's mouth just to pay our taxes, and you're talking about taking the gospel to the whole world? Are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. You will be my, you're going to change the world. And they didn't believe it. Even after the resurrection, they did not believe it. Until the Holy Spirit entered into them on what we call Pentecost. It's really not the word Pentecost. That's a whole other story. It's a different sermon. The word Pentecost is Greek. The Hebrew word for there is Shavuot. It was the feast of, it was the feast that commemorated the 50 days or the giving of the laws of God. But that's another sermon. On that day, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues. That word is languages. Don't let nobody fool you. They weren't babbling. Habla, 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 habla. You tie my shoe, I tie your shoe. Habla, 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 habla. Left in a Honda, come back in a Celica. No, none of that kind of stuff. They were saying truth and they were preaching the gospel, and the Most High had that message reached the world in one day. And then they went around, and guess what? 2,000 years later, we're here in America still sharing the same message that they shared 2,000 years ago. In other words, what Yah started, he finishes. I know it's hard for you to see it, but he's going to do it with you. It's going to change this area with you because he said he would. I'm 23 minutes into this sermon, so let me shut it down. What is the good work that they were all called to be a part of? It's the good work of grace. Yes, grace. Yah's favor toward us. And as a result of this work, we are asked to participate in what he's doing to save the world. You see, grace is what Yah does for us. But it's also grace is what Yah does in us. But not only that, grace is what Yah does through us. As a matter of fact, the good news of the gospel is the good news of grace. The work of grace is the good work that he started long time ago. Grace gives us the opportunity to work in the interest, in the greatest enterprise on planet Earth. Grace allows us to work in the kingdom of our Most High Yah. It is grace that causes us to work in the kingdom, bringing lost men, women, boys and girls out of this world's darkness into his marvelous light. It's the work of grace. The work of grace is the good work. If we take the grace of Yah out into our community, into our streets, our city, our state and nation, you will discover that grace can change a sinner into a saint. Grace can declare the unrighteous righteous. Grace can change eternal destinations. Grace, hallelujah, can give sight to the spiritual blind. Grace can give spiritual food to the hungry soul. Grace can calm every fear. Grace can wipe away every tear from their eyes. Grace is what takes a broken heart and mend the pieces back together. Grace can take your sins, though they be like scarlet, and make them white as snow. He can take your sins, though they be like crimson, and make it like lamb's wool. Grace is the only work on earth that can save lost people. When we come to this kind of grace and we work and give ourselves to this kind of grace, we are participating in the good work of the spread of the gospel. Grace is the work that takes a bad man and make him a good man. Grace is the work that takes a bad woman and makes her a good woman. Grace is the work that takes that bad child and makes the bad child a good child. Grace is that which Yah expects of us. When he started with us, he started using grace to make us and transform us into his very image, so that we are walking illustrations of what God can do in us and for us and through us if we would just yield to his grace. Come on. And wherever grace has begun, it is Yah who began it. Grace is a good word. But mama didn't start grace. Daddy didn't start grace. Pastor Davis didn't start the work of grace. Pastor McKay did not start the work of grace. No one in this room started grace out by ourselves. For all of us are by nature dead in trespasses and sin. We were dead to everything good, dead to all that which was godly, dead to that which was holy. And what can redeem man toward rising themselves to life? Or how can a man begin to act right until they are made alive? Never let us forget that it was his grace that saw us down and dead and dirty. And it was his grace that looked beyond our fault and saw our needs. That's the work we're in. We're in the grace that called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. It was his grace that placed us in his body, which is the church. It is his grace that Pastor McKay with a vision and me and others that will come. When we come, it was his grace that gave you a teacher and a pastor to help you learn and understand and begin to work in this great work. And the work that he started, he will finish. So let me close. If you give me 2 minutes, now I need 3 minutes. Let me close by saying this. Number one, because we've been called by grace and kept by grace, then keep on keeping on. Don't stop now. Keep sharing. Keep praying. Keep on building. Keep on reaching. We must keep teaching. We must keep loving one another. We must keep having a heart for lost people. We must keep striving for excellence. We must keep pressing ourselves or presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice on the altar of his grace. We must keep giving You do know the more we give, the more we resemble our Most High Heavenly Father. For our Heavenly Father is a giving God, and you can't beat him giving, no matter how hard you try. We know that he's been giving to us ever since the creation of the world. In Genesis, we find that our Creator is a giver. That's one of the first things we notice about our Creator. He's not tight or stingy or selfish. He's a giver. That's what he does. He gives. He gave to darkness light. He gave to chaos order. He gave to dry ground, grass, flowers, shrubs, bushes, and trees. He gave to the day, sun. He gave to the night, the moon. He gave to the air, birds. He gave to the water, fish. Everything that Yah made gives. And therefore, you and I, if we're going to walk in this grace, we too must understand that this is a giving gospel and a giving grace. We must become givers. I like that about your pastor, for he says more than once that there are two kind of people. You're either a giver or a taker. You are a lover or a hater. If you are a giver, then you are demonstrating that you've been called by the grace of Yah, and that grace has affected your life. Let me close with this, and I'm really done. The greatest verse in the Bible that people know is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's you, me, anybody, believe in him won't perish, but will have everlasting life. And what did his son do when he got here? His son gave his life out on Calvary. He gave his blood as a remission for remission of our sins. Amen. He died on the cross, carrying out the mission of his father, trusting that if he died 3 days later, his father would raise him up again. And y'all know what happened, don't you? He trusted him, even though everybody else was depressed. He trusted his father, and 3 days later rose again from the dead with all power. And that happened over 2,000 years ago, and that story is still being told today. I just told it again. It's the story of his grace. So everything we do, Trinity, I can only say that for a couple more weeks, we must do it to completion, for the honor of our Heavenly Father working in his grace.
All right.
One writer said this: you may build great cathedrals, large or small. You can build skyscrapers, grand and tall. You may conquer all the failures of the past, but only what you do for Christ will last. You may seek earthly power and fame. The world might be impressed by your great name. Soon the glories of this life will be past, but only what you do for Christ will last. Though your armies may control each hemisphere, and your orbits out in space cause men to cheer, your scientific knowledge may be vast, but only what you do for Christ will last. Though your song and prayers are heard and praised by man, they've no meaning unless you've been born again. Sinner, heed these words. Don't let this harvest pass, for only what you do for Christ will last. Remember, only what you do for Christ will last. Remember, only what you do for Christ will last. Remember, only what you do for him will be counted in the end. Only what you do for Christ will last. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We've come to a time now of great of a great injunction. We come to a crossroad. And the question is, what do we do now? Well, whatever he started in you, he's got to keep doing it until the day of judgment. For some of us, we might see that day. Others of us, we might be laying in a cold grave. We are not to rust out. We are to work out for him. We never stop. We never stop because he never stops. If you're here today and you've heard this message, what I want you to do is humble yourself right now before him. Give him thanks for calling your name. Give him thanks for allowing you to be a part of this great work of reconciliation. And then give him thanks for promising to continue to work with you until the day of redemption. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these your people. I pray your blessings upon them, that this word of encouragement that you are not through with them will sink into their hearts and that it will change their lives. In the precious name of your only begotten Son, Yehoshua HaMashiach. Amen.